Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Philippians. We'll be in Philippians chapter number 3. Philippians chapter number 3. And I trust that you had a good Thanksgiving holiday and get back into the routine of things for a little bit. And then Christmas will be upon us, then the new year. But we look forward to closing out the new year well. This time of year, for me personally, I do it personally, but also as the pastor of the church, I like to, as we start the end of year, I'm already looking forward to next year. What do we need to be put into place so that I can have a productive year personally, how I can grow as a Christian, as a person in the new year, but also as the church. Where are we going as the church? Where are we? What is the emphasis that we need to make as a church? And so thinking of those things and getting ready for that, and I trust that you are doing that as well, you know that it doesn't just end December 31st. If Jesus didn't come back, we're doing it all again. January, February, March, all those things again. And so if the Lord is going to keep us here, I want to grow. I want to do more. I want to be more effective. And so we want to start not just winding the year down, but as we wind it down, get ready to hit the ground running again in 2026. And I think today's message will help us with that. Philippians chapter number 3, I remind you, the Apostle Paul is writing this letter to the Christians at Philippi from prison, from jail. He is in jail because of his service to the Lord. There's a philosophy out there that says if you serve the Lord, everything's going to be good, you're going to be rich, you're going to be healthy, all those things. Somebody should include the Apostle Paul in on that. As he writes about his beatings and his imprisonments and his shipwrecks and all of those things, he never got that kind. Now, you and I, we're blessed to live in the United States of America. We're blessed to live where we live, and God's good to us. But there is still a price to pay in serving the Lord. And Paul, to give the context of what we're going to focus in on today, remember that he is writing this letter from prison. Now, let's go to verse 13 and verse 14. Of Philippians chapter number 3, and Paul, we see he's writing to Christians as he uses that word brethren in verse number 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, by the time Paul writes this, he's accomplished a lot for the Lord. Those he's writing to were aware that he's accomplished a lot for the Lord. But Paul was not satisfied where he was in his Christian life. He's sitting in a jail cell and he's not saying, well, I guess I've had a good run. I guess it's all this Christian thing. I've taken it as far as I can go. No, he is still talking about there's more to do for Christ. Now, if he can do that from jail, can't you and I do it from Jacksonville, Florida? Can't you and I do it in our circumstance? As I want to look at these two verses this morning, and I want you to give me your attention because you're going to have to focus this morning as I preach on the Christian's focus. So if you're not focusing, how are you going to get the message on focusing? Everybody with me? Do we need to stand and stretch? Do some jumping jacks. Make sure you're all in a turkey hangover today. I want you to give me your attention as we look at the Christian's focus. Father, I pray that you'll use your word today. May your spirit speak to our hearts. And Father, may this be a life-changing message, a life-changing thought. May it be one as we have been blessed in this year that you've given us, but it's not been without challenges as we look for the future. May we have the proper focus in life. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I want to deal with one of the most destructive forces in the Christian life today. I'm not talking about addictions per se. I'm not talking about necessarily a false doctrine this morning. I'm not talking about immorality or persecution, although those things are dangerous. It is something that if I could say it like this, it's more respectable than those things. It's something that feels harmless. You might say, well, Pastor, what is that? It's the word distraction. See, we are the busiest generation in history, and I would submit to you that we are the least spiritually focused. We move constantly, but progress little. We are active, but are we really aimed? We are full of motion, but we're empty of meaning. Paul is speaking to us through the scripture this morning with clarity. He says in verse number 13, but this one thing I do. Not 10 things. Now bear in mind, when he says this one thing, it doesn't mean he had literally one little thing in his life and he let everything else go. But this one thing is his focus. He did not say there were 10 things that he was focused on. Not everything that called for his attention got it. Not everything in his life that demanded his attention got it. See, Paul was a man with one focus, one priority, one mission, and one consuming passion: Jesus Christ. What an example for you and I. And this morning as we get into the message, can you and I say that we have one focus, one priority, one mission, and one consuming passion, and that is Jesus Christ. And here is the truth this morning that so many Christians fail to grab a hold of and grasp. Your one thing will always come into conflict with the other things. So if your one thing is Jesus, there's going to be conflict with all of your other things. If your one thing is not Jesus, whatever that one thing is, your career, your job, your passion, your hobby, whatever it is, it's always going to conflict with everything else, including Jesus Christ. This is why we must be reminded we're to seek Him first. Seek His kingdom first. Well, I'm spend time with Him, and He's my focus. It's the kingdom. It's His kingdom first, not just, hey, Lord, I want to acknowledge You today. Is He the priority? Is He the focus? See, if your one thing, Jesus Christ, does not put you in conflict with schedule, budget, relationships, then can you really say it's your one thing? This is why most Christians never live with that focus. They want Christ to be the one thing. Hear me now. They want Christ to be the one thing, but they want to keep all the other things too. There's probably a lot of that even in the room this morning. You're here because you want Christ to be the priority. You want Him to be the focus. But you want to keep all the other things too. The secret of the Christian life is not necessarily those sinful black and white things that we are to stay away from, but it's the things that you can't find a scripture reference on, but they keep us from being focused on the one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, this was not how Paul was. He was focused. He was clear, this one thing I do. His focus was the Lord Jesus Christ. I have a few statements, and when I say few, I have more than a few statements this morning I want to make from this passage of Scripture. Let me say, first of all, number one, the Christian's focus must be singular. This one thing I do. The most powerful people in Scripture, in history, were not those who did everything. They were people who did the one thing God called them to do. What is the one thing God has called you to do? And when you focus on that, everything else fits in under that or fits in along with that. But the Christian's focus must be singular. As we think of this truth, let me point out the conflict between the one thing and the other things. Are you with me this morning? Here's what many Christians never understand. You cannot have a one thing focus without disappointing every competing thing. Because the one thing will always fight with the other things. Let's be honest this morning. You can build the biggest business, but you won't keep Christ as your one thing while doing it. You can climb the corporate ladder, but the higher you climb for that, the lower you fall in your focus on Him. You can chase financial success, advancement, reputation, or comfort, but none of those will bow to the one thing unless you make them bow to the one thing. See, the one thing sets the direction. The other things must surrender to the one thing. And every Christian must settle this in their heart. This is why many Christians this morning are struggling, because you're trying to balance everything, and that's a misnomer. You make the one thing the one thing, and Jesus says He'll add all the other things in their appropriate place. And quite frankly, this is why some of you Bible college students are struggling, because you refuse to commit to what God has for you right now, and you want to play with all the other things. The one thing sets the direction. The other things must surrender. See, am I going to build the career I want, or am I going to build the life God wants? By the way, no one is saying you can't have a career or you can't build a business, but there's just one thing that takes your most focus. Why are you building that? Or better yet, are you going to build the life that God wants you to have and let Him bless you in those endeavors? If God gives you a promotion, that is different than putting God on the back burner so that you can climb the corporate ladder. If God blesses an endeavor you're doing, that's much different than missing church and missing soul winning and missing the things of God so that you can build something up. Somewhere along the line, you got to make up your mind, what is the one thing? Because there's just going to be one thing you give your business, your focus to. I remember when I was, this might be something to illustrate, when I was coaching basketball many years ago, I knew that there would be a few games every year that we'd probably lose because they wouldn't listen to their coach, but that's a whole nother. No, because our school and our youth program is not set up that sports is the one thing. It's a thing. I knew, though, as we played even other Christian schools, we would encounter one where sports is the thing. And so as a coach, I learned we're going to lose a game or two along the way, and that's okay. Because we're going to still win at the one thing. And we're still going to have the one thing of, you're not here to put a ball in a hoop. You're not here to catch a pigskin. You're here to honor the Lord Jesus Christ for your life and make yourself available so that He can use you in some capacity. See, your one thing determines your priorities. Tell me your one thing and I'll tell you what your sacrifices will be, your schedule will be. Tell me your one thing and I'll predict your finances. Tell me your one thing, and that'll determine your habits. Whatever your one thing is going to determine how much you are willing to obey God's word. Your one thing will determine your purpose. See, we can say, and young people, be wary of this. It's easy to say, well, Christ is my one thing, but if your purpose is another thing, it's going to bear out. If Christ is not your one thing, please let the weight of this settle this morning. If Christ is not your one thing, He is nothing more than one of your many things. If Christ is not your one thing, He's nothing more than one of your many things. D.L. Moody could have been one of the richest men in Chicago, that great man of God who shook two continents for God, a businessman, we even told him so. But Moody replied, "Sir, I am already working for a better reward." What was he saying? I don't have time to be wealthy because Christ is my one thing. Hudson Taylor turned down financial security and prestigious ministry positions to obey God's call to China. But what did he say? He said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. Amy Carmichael refused to marry and refused a life of comfort to rescue abused children in India. See, these believers live with one focus, Christ. And might I say, a divided heart cannot be a devoted heart. In the Christian life, friend, is not complicated. It's just crowded. If we would just put our focus on the one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ, what does He have for my life? What is the priority? It's Him. What we in our sincerity say, I really want that, pastor, but if it's crowded, the priorities are crowded, it cannot be, He cannot be the one thing. See, for Christ this morning to become the one thing, all the other things got to be moved out of the way. So if He's not the one thing, or you're reminded this morning He's to be the one thing, we got to be willing this morning. We got to be willing and honest and ready to say, what are the other things competing with Jesus? What in my schedule is competing with Him? No Christian should complain about the church schedule. Because if He's your one thing, you'll fit everything else in around Him. No Christian should do their retirement planning and complain about the tithe to the church. Because if He's the one thing, I got to be retired by this age. Well, God help us if we got to be in the workforce 2 more years before we gave to missionaries so they could hear about the Lord Jesus Christ. I got a lot of rest over Thanksgiving, if you haven't been able to tell. The problem is it's crowded with Jesus. Let me give us number two this morning. Many are thankful I'm off of number one. I would like to tell you it gets better. But the sober thought this morning of what is our focus, number two, the focus must be spiritual, not carnal. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. See, to move forward, you got to let go from what's behind. See, a spiritual focus looks forward. A carnal, fleshly focus looks backwards. See, there's many Christians today, you live in your past sins and it's reflected in your guilt. You live and still past hurts and it's reflected in your bitterness. You live and past failures and it's reflected in your shame. You say, well, I'm glad there's none of that. But many today, just as many, live in past successes and it's revealed in your pride. We live in the past hurt, the past trauma, and it's reflected in our fear. And I was at another church and got hurt, and so I don't want to give it to God. That's just a fear. You quit living in that. Can I just say to all of us that our adversary, the devil, Satan, wants you stuck in what God forgave? It's not God reminding you of your past. It's not God reminding you of your failures. It's the devil himself, and if he can keep your focus on the past, he can steal your focus from the future. That carnal viewpoint is looking behind, and our focus this morning is on him. It's got to be a spiritual focus, so we cannot be looking behind us because a spiritual focus looks forward. Paul is saying there are things that are before. There are new opportunities, new growth, new responsibilities. there are more souls that need to be saved. If God gave you victory from the past, think about this. God's got more victories He wants you to have in the future. If His mercies are new every morning, that means He's got new mercies for us to experience. See, why was Paul so powerful? Part of the reason why he was such a powerful Christian, he had the sins of murder and blasphemy and all those wicked things in his past, but he refused to dwell there. He left them back there under the blood of Christ, and he continued to press forward. That was his focus. There's talented people in this room, but there's nobody so talented that if I called you up here and I said, fix your eyes on that direction, that you could look there and look behind you at the same time. That is true in the Christian life. How can we be looking forward and pressing forward if we're still looking behind us? Leave that behind you. Leave the past behind you. Leave the failure behind you. Friend, if God has brought you through that, I certainly don't want to revisit it with you. Matter of fact, I refuse to revisit it with you. You've got to press forward. He can't be your focus if you're still looking in the past. So it has to be a spiritual focus. Number three, the focus must be purposeful. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before. It's a little bit more than just saying, well, I'm moving on. We are so good at making statements that mean nothing. What does that mean? It's not a wrong thing to say, but you've got to put some meaning and purpose behind it. Reaching forth. Paul is not passive. Don't miss this. Well, God brought me through. Praise the Lord for that. He's my focus. If He's my focus, how can we be passive in our Christian life? If He's our focus, Paul says, I'm reaching forth. The problem we face as Christians is many times is we can't leave that past behind us, but the problems we face many times, as I mentioned just a moment ago, we have those successes behind us, and so reaching can be uncomfortable. You ever get to the place in life as you get older, you bend down and reach for something and say, well, that I didn't remember that hurting when I did that last time, 7 years ago. Stretching, pushing. See, reaching implies stretching. You know, growth is not comfortable. I've said this before, and I'll remind us this morning, if you want to be a part of a church where you can just sit and not grow, this is not the church for you. Meaning, I am going to put us in a position that in order for us to grow, it's got to stretch us. So if you are reaching forward, you're stretching. I just don't think I can do anymore. I just don't think I can bear anymore. Why don't you let God help you with that? Oh, this something that just is the way I'm wired. I have a pretty good balance. I know we all have our limitations. That's why, just using academics, I'm never going to expect a C student to be an A student, and it would help probably some parents to understand that you might have a C student. B student, D student, you're like, well, if I just had a C student, that would be. But if that's their capability, that's their capability. And I'm okay with that. Athletically, it's like, oh, this goes in that. That's all you have to do. Or you just be going in the same direction as everybody else. Why can't you run faster? They can't run. Their legs are this tall. They can't run any faster. Well, it's easy for me. Well, when you're 6'8", 6'9", yeah. But one thing that it just grates on me is I'm not even going to try. I remember it when I was coaching, and in all kinds of leadership that I'm in now is at least try. Well, I don't want to fail. No, you don't want to succeed. Because you can't succeed without failing along the way, and you might do better than you think you can do, but you're going to have to stretch yourself, and you're going to have to work a little bit. And you know what? You can please God with your life, but you might have to leave some things back there, and that's going to stretch you a little bit because there's some relationships back there. There's some habits back there. There's some priorities back there that you're going to have to set down. Well, I just don't know if I want to try and see what God would do with me. No. Try. That reaching implies intention. You don't stumble into holiness. Wow, look, I didn't know this was hiding in the closet in the back. Look what I found. You don't just drift into soul winning. You don't casually just have a prayer life. That is reaching forth. That's intention. Reaching also implies direction. See, unfocused effort does not produce spiritual fruit. Direction matters. It matters. Well, Pastor just wants everybody to be at a certain... No, Pastor doesn't want everybody to be at a certain level. Pastor just wants you moving in the right direction. I just don't think I can do it. You can do it. Have you forgotten, child of God, who lives within you, who dwells within you, who created you? He can grow you, but that has got to be your focus. Well, I'm getting off track, and I can preach on this forever this morning. But you take these professional athletes, and yes, some of them are born with things that are just natural. You can't, as the old saying, you can't coach height. But some of these professional athletes, and I've used some of them before, the regimen that they are willing to endure in order to be the best. There is no off season. In fact, they work harder in the off season than during the season. They sacrifice, they do all these things, they put money into systems and programs and coaches and things of that nature to get them to another level. Could you imagine what would happen in this world if God's people had that same focus and said, I don't want to just be an average Christian. I don't want to just be an everyday Christian. I don't want to just say, well, I was part of the church. Just like, well, I made the league. I was on the team. No, I want to be somebody who excels. Well, you're going to have to get up early to spend time in the manual. You're going to have to cut some things out of your life so that you can have that singular focus of pressing forward. Truth of the matter is, when it comes to athletics, those who say they want to be the best, they don't really want it because their focus. If that could be true in athletics, could it also be true in Christianity? You know, you can be as close to God as you want to be. Let me give you number four, and don't get hopeful. I have more than four today. You say, well, Pastor, why didn't you split this off? I'm preaching on the same subject tonight and next week. Number four, the focus must be heavenly. I press toward just a mark, the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. There's a lot there, but let me just bring it to a focus this morning. See, your focus is going to determine how you finish. As Christians, can we get this in our heads? The high calling demands a high commitment. A high calling demands a high commitment. Well, I wish I had the power of an Apostle Paul. Do you have the commitment of an Apostle Paul? Most of us are afraid to lose a friend on social media, much less go to prison for our stand for Christ. Do we have the commitment? Are we willing to give up everything and say, I'm just going to go preach the gospel as He called me to do, whatever it is that God has called you to do, whatever it is He has for you to do for Him as a servant of His? It's a high calling. It demands a high commitment. Well, Pastor, he'll be my focus. I just don't want to pay too big of a price. I'll focus on Him. I just don't want to give up my dreams. I'll focus on Him. I just don't want it to cost me too much. And I don't want to take up too much of my schedule. And I don't want to take up too much of my conversation. I don't want to take up too much of my budget. I don't want to take up too much of my family time. It's a high calling which requires a high standard. A high commitment. Some aren't faithful to church as they should be because they are not willing to make a commitment. For some reason, Christ is not worthy of that. See, the prize is eternal. You know that plaque, that recognition, that whatever you get from working at your company, which will replace you within 24 hours, you're gone. You know your grandkids aren't going to care that much about it. It's going to fade. It's going to wear out. You're going to try and sell it at a yard sale one day. Nobody's going to buy it. But an earthly, that heavenly crown, not fashioned by hands. But fashioned by the hands of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And yes, you could have achieved this, but there was a higher calling. That higher calling was not servant to corporate USA, but servant to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That higher calling was, yes, I should work hard, I should provide. That's part of your calling. Don't misconstrue what's being said, but it should not be your focus. That prize is eternal. Those earthly recognitions fade, those heavenly crowns last for eternity. The mark, what is that mark? That it's being like Christ. Christ is the goal. He's the prize. You can't say, oh, will we all agree this morning that we should be striving to be like Christ? Will you acknowledge that? You think you can just do that by putting an hour in on Sunday? You think we can do that just as a casual, we act like children as Christians. You see these little kids that like to play dress up. Isn't that what we do? I like to play dress up like a Christian on Sunday. But I'm not talking like him on Monday. My budget doesn't reflect him on Tuesday. My schedule doesn't reflect him on Wednesday. My associations would embarrass him on Thursday. What is the focus? Let me move quickly to number 5. The focus must be intentional under pressure. You might say, Pastor, we're feeling the pressure. That's the point. I press toward the mark. It has to, it's not enough just to say, well, this is what I want. It's easy to say. I want Christ to be my focus. I'm willing to make any sacrifice. I'm willing to give my tithes and my offerings. I'm willing to be in church every time the doors are open. I'm willing to serve in some capacity. I'm willing to teach somebody else the Word of God in my home or in a Sunday school class, whatever it may be. It's easy to say that, but let the pressure of life come. That's when Paul says, I press toward it. Because it's not an easy street. It's not an easy walk. Well, Pastor, I would keep him in my schedule if my schedule never got blown up. Your schedule's always going to get blown up. Well, if I could schedule when everybody's sick, good luck with that. That's why there's the press. He says they presses, meaning there's some opposition to that. There's some resistance. It's one thing to use the sports analogy again. It's one thing for a football team to line up across from air. I'm going to run the football and I'm going to score a touchdown. He's the greatest running back we've ever seen. He is perfect in 11 on zero drills. But put some resistance out there. How much are you going to push through? There's a reason why, those of you that like football, you understand what I'm saying. There's a reason why a running back can get a 2-yard gain and he can have everybody cheer. And it's because he got hit a yard behind the line of scrimmage, but he's pushing. And he should have lost 2 yards, but he gained 2 yards, and everybody cheers for that. You know why? Because there's some resistance there. And he's fighting through that resistance. And sometimes we as Christians think because we face resistance, we're failing. No, that's when you win. That's when you keep pushing. That's when you say there's a focus over there, and I might only get 2 yards on this, but I'm going to get the 2 yards. It'd be easy for me to just sit down here and say, we'll try again next time. But no, I'm going to do everything I can, and I'm going to get up again. And when that resistance comes, I'm going to keep pressing and pressing and pressing. I can get victory over this. I can serve God. I can walk with Him. I can have my prayers answered. I can be like Christ, but I'm going to have to press and be intentional while under pressure. It takes effort. It takes endurance. That's the key, he said. Doesn't just say, I'm going toward the mark, I press. We don't have time for the illustration, but if that's somebody moving in a direction and had that somebody providing that resistance, you have to just keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And truth of the matter is, there's probably some in this room, there's probably some in every church that's meeting this morning, somebody who said, I want my focus to be Jesus on Jesus, but when they started toward Him, there came some resistance and they said, no, I thought it was going to be easier than this. I thought it was going to be easier to rear my children for the Lord. I thought it was going to be easier to teach a Sunday school class. I thought it was going to be easier to be a witness. I thought it was going to be an easier to answer that call God put on my life. Then number 6, and this is the last one. But there's a long conclusion. The focus must be finished. He says, brethren, verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't yet arrived. See, you could say it like this, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. So what do you mean by that, Pastor? See, God had got a hold of him. So now he had to have his focus on him, on God, so that he could do what God had for him to do. That focus must be finished. Yes, start today. And new Christians in here, new to church, new to things of the Lord, get started. Don't compare where you're starting now to where somebody who's been in a race for a long time. You're just getting started. But let me say, finish what God started in you. He saved you, yes, so that you wouldn't have to pay for your own sins, but He saved you and He has a purpose for you. He has something He wants you to do. He has lives He wants you to touch. He wants the discouraged that He wants you to encourage. There's somebody that will see the light of Christ in you that'll never cross paths with the pastor or the others in the church. It's for you to shine the light of Christ. Finish. But it takes focused Christians to finish their race. There are many in this room who have been saved for a long, long time. You've served God for decades. You're in your senior years, if we can say it like that. Maybe there's younger ones, you look at them and say, man, they must have had an easy life to get that far and still be serving God. No, they just kept a focus. They had their times of imprisonment. Maybe not in a physical jail, but with disappointment and heartache and trials and tribulations and our own failures. But we kept that focus and said, I've not arrived. There's more for me to do. See, focused Christians finish their race. A focused Christian becomes a fruitful Christian. See, fruit is never the result of busyness. I feel so busy. I'm so busy. So maybe you need to get more focused so you can have some fruit. Be focused on Him. Let me make some quick application this morning. We've been talking about our focus on the one thing. Maybe you're asking, well, what does that one thing look like? What does it look like when Christ truly becomes your one thing? Well, if Christ is your one thing, you'll be a witness, you'll be a soul winner. See, a Christian who never witnesses has another one thing. See, if I'm not against sports, I'm not against hobbies, but if you talk about those things more than you talk about Jesus, what is your one thing? If you talk about money more than you talk about Jesus, and let me just throw this in here. If you talk about the church budget more than you talk about the messages pastor preaches, what's your one thing? See, if Christ is the one thing, you'll be faithful to church. I know, it's my responsibility to make sure the church services work with everybody's schedule. It's the time of year for everybody to turn in your 2026 calendar, so I know how to position all of the services around family events, sporting events, all of those things. If you're new, I'm joking. Because if Christ is the one thing, you'll be faithful to church. If Christ is the one thing, you'll serve. Jesus didn't save you to sit. He saved you to serve. And if you want to serve, we'll find a place for you to serve. If Christ is the one thing, you'll give. Finances always follow focus. Where your treasure is, your heart follows, not the other way around. If Christ is the one thing, you'll walk with Him daily. If Christ is the one thing, you'll pursue holiness. If Christ is the one thing, it'll be obvious in with your family. If Christ is the one thing, your career will submit to your calling. You can work hard, you can succeed, you may prosper, but none of it compares to serving Christ, the one thing. There's a lot of noisy things that life throws at us. But the one thing that has our focus does not demand our focus. That's why we must choose it to be our focus. See, Pastor, what's the importance of that? The importance of that is Jesus shouldn't have to demand to be our one thing. If he paid, and he did, your death in hell, every day we ought, first thing we ought to do is like, my focus is on him today. My focus is on him. Now for some, there'll be a, God may have it be a parallel thing. You may have a career, you may have this, that there's, they run parallel and God uses that and blesses that. But I know there's some in this room that for, there came a crossroads. Am I going to keep my focus on Christ or am I going to keep it on corporate America? That's a decision that has to be made. Well, Pastor, it's hard. It's hard. Well, maybe we can tell that to the Apostle Paul who said all this from jail. I'm not done yet. I'm leaving everything behind me. I know what I am. I know what I was. But I got still things that I want to do for God. You may be in a situation you never dreamed you were in, but look at where God has you. And there, he can still be your focus in a jail cell. He can still be your focus with poor health. He can still be your focus with, his, be your focus with disappointment. But he's got to be the main thing, this one thing. May I remind us that the one thing will cost us something. Please don't miss this. This will help some of you. It's a decision some of you got to make. The one thing will rearrange your life. It'll rearrange your life. The one thing will conflict with the other things. I know some of you this morning, you might be thinking, well, these other things are important too. What do I do with them? What I would say to you is this, when Christ becomes your one thing, he takes care of all the other things. So today the question is simple, what is your one thing? What actually controls your decisions? What gets your time? What gets your attention? What gets your devotion? What gets your money, your energy? We joke, we from time to time we'll have needs or we'll have people will donate things and joke about it. It's like, well, I got a new appliance and so I'm going to donate this other one in. I couldn't sell in a yard sale. Salvation Army didn't want it. I couldn't get it hauled off. The dump refused it. So I'll take it down to the church so they can use it. We laugh at that. But isn't it true? Well, maybe you ought to be, maybe you ought to get the church the new one. Pastor's putting pressure. I'm not putting pressure. Well, we do that. That is like, well, I'll do my schedule and put everything in there I want, and I'm going to get the martyr's crown. Pastor, you'll be excited about this. I was able to keep 11 to 12 open. Well, that don't even get you a whole church service. Well, I was able to keep that open. Instead of, okay, how many of you are a member of the Emmanuel Baptist Church? Let me help you with your schedule this morning. Will you permit me a couple more minutes? Good. Get the church schedule and put that on your calendar. And if there's a conflict, change the conflict and not miss the church service. He's the focus, right? Let me help you with your budget. I don't have time to teach on all this morning, but there's the tithe. That's 10%. I believe it's of gross. And we know how much taxes are being taken out. It'd be a shame for Uncle Sam to get his before God got his. Then there's offerings on top of that. Then if you look in the New Testament, there were those who gave out of their own poverty so that the gospel could get out. Let's deal with all of that and then say, well, how big of a vacation do I get to take now? Now, if you don't want to live this way, I'm still going to love you. I'm still going to be your pastor. I'm still going to pray for you. I'm just trying to ask the question this morning that all of us have to answer, including your own pastor. Where's our focus? Would we not agree that we get frustrated at the politicians in our country for just giving us lip service? Republican and Democrat. They will tell us what they think we want to hear so that they can get a vote. But they're going to go do whatever they want to do to benefit them. Don't we just get tired of that? Quit patronizing us. And if you did what you said you were going to do, we'd see change in this country. Can we find somewhat agreement on that? Well, what would happen in our country if God's people didn't just say, I have decided to follow Jesus, but He was actually our focus? Our schedules reflected it. Our budgets reflected it. Our energy. I'm just too tired to serve Jesus. And I know there's responsibilities. We have to provide for our family. We have to do things at home. But God ought to get something from us. Is Christ the one thing or just one of the things? Is He just one thing? Is He the thing? Or He's just one of the things. It's amazing. You take children, small children, you can give them a bunch of presents, you can give them a bunch of things, but they find that favorite thing. We're like, well, look at this toy and this toy and this toy, and they find that favorite thing. And it always comes out. And it's not just a thing. It's the thing. But we as people, where is Jesus? When it gets crowded, do we have to, no. No, He is the thing. We don't set Him with everything else. He is the thing. And the truth of the matter is, I'm doing what God has provided for me to do to provide for my family, but I just want to serve Him. I want to serve Him. I want to do for Him. This is going just a little bit different way, but you say, well, there's that Christmas offering. I wish I could give something. What would be wrong with working an hour overtime if you could? I know it's Christmas, but again, shouldn't He have some priority? I know what the prayer of some of you will be is that it's a long time before a pastor has 3 or 4 days at home to himself. What's your focus? I cannot answer that question for you, although our focus is going to reflect in our decisions. I cannot make the change for you. But I would just challenge us all this morning to be honest. Let's just be honest. Is He our focus? If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's the first thing that you need to focus on. Eternity, heaven or hell. That's the only two destinations of man's eternal soul, is heaven or hell. And the only difference is those who put their faith in Christ, in Christ's finished work on Calvary. If you don't know that, somebody would be happy to show you from the Bible how you can be saved. What's the focus? Now this morning, I hope you sense the heart of your pastor. What I want from you and I want from us is all of us to grow and to please Him. And I don't know every circumstance, and I don't know every situation, but the principle remains the same. Is if He is the focus, then we will do everything in our power to serve Him as we should serve Him. There are some who health permits them for being in church today. Their focus can still be on Him. But I would submit there's some who could be in church today, but they just decided to sit on their couch and tune in to the service today. I would think it's a worthy question of the pastor to ask. Is He really your focus? That we couldn't make the... Now, if I know there's some physically hindered. But if He's the focus, I mean, it reminds me, I'm going to keep going, I know. People who were too scared to come to church during COVID, but you bump into them at Walmart. And you catch something at Walmart when COVID's not in an outbreak. So what's the priority this morning? What's the focus? Father, help us as we ponder these things.